Okay, 1442.
Authorize the submittal of a boundary change request to the State of Oregon to add 0.92 acres to the East Portland Enterprise Zone.
Good afternoon. Come on up. Sorry you have had to wait a while. I know you're here this morning, but thank you for being
very interesting.
That's right. It's always interesting in here. Good afternoon and welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, whoever's going to start us off, tell us about this tasty expansion of the Enterprise Zone.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and City Commissioners. My name is Pam Neal, and I am the Interim Economic Development Manager at the Portland Development Commission. We are here today to request that City Council authorize a submittal of an Enterprise Zone boundary change request to the State of Oregon to add just under an acre to the East Portland Enterprise Zone. The property is located in the central east side, where Salt and Straw is considering a major expansion to their headquarters and food production facility. Salt and Straw is a local success story. They opened in 2011 as a food cart on Alberta and now have four brick-and-mortar locations in Portland, a nationwide delivery program, four locations in Los Angeles, and plans to expand to San Francisco. Not only are they interested in expanding their operations in Portland, they are also creating employment opportunities for our residents and eager to engage with us on growing opportunities for underrepresented populations. Here is a map of the proposed boundary amendment site. It's located adjacent to New Seasons and Olympia Provisions E-Zone projects. As a reminder, the E-Zone is a State of Oregon tax abatement program that exempts new capital investment for a period of 5 years. The E-Zone program has become one of our most effective economic development tools to encourage investment and job creation. On approximately a yearly basis, PDC is approached by companies to include new projects in the Enterprise Zone program. Examples of projects in the past include Rentrack on Airport Way, the expansion of Jaguar Land Rover, and sites in the Central East Side that now house companies such as New Seasons, Olympia Provisions, and Simple Finance. Salt and Straw is planning a $2 million investment. The existing building and land will continue to be taxed, but the new value added to the building will be abated for a period of 5 years. This abatement will equal 1.5% of the new assessed property tax, which will equal approximately $32,000 per year for 5 years. Once that tax abatement period ends, the property will be fully taxed. The project will create 40 to 60 new jobs in Portland at the headquarters and food manufacturing facility. As part of the project, they will also create a food artisan incubator and workforce training program to support residents to get into positions in the growing food industry here in Portland. The company will discuss its expansion plans shortly and why Portland is their preferred location to grow its headquarters and manufacturing facilities. The statutory and policy requirements will be consistent with every other E-Zone project, but this company will sign a public benefits agreement to go above and beyond these requirements. Some of the public benefits that we agreed upon is a commitment to paying a minimum of $15 per hour for every employee, efforts to hire 50% of new hires from underrepresented populations, the creation of a food artisan incubator program to focus on inclusive entrepreneurship, efforts to create flexibility in employee schedules and seek to hire employees at full-time versus part-time, and internships for youth and community engagement around homelessness and addiction issues in the Central East Side and Portland in general.
I just interrupt to ask a question. I really appreciate the commitment to as many full-time permanent jobs as possible. I'm wondering what you mean by flexibility in scheduling.
So at this time, I'd like to introduce Kim Malik and Tyler from Salt and Straw to answer those type of questions.
Thank you, Sergeant Trepa.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Well, thank
nice
you
to
so
have you
much.
Here.
It's our first city council meeting. It's exciting.
Just put your name in the record.
This is Kimberly Malik.
Thank you.
So for flexible scheduling, so we do offer full-time employment for most of the folks who work in our kitchens and our corporate headquarters, which will be what this building represents. And in terms of flexible scheduling, we work with them to have days off so they can go to school or, you know, some have other responsibilities with family. And so we work very diligently towards having flexible schedules for our staff, but also a set schedule so they know what their life will look like over the next month, 2 months, 3 months.
That's what I was hoping to hear. Thank you very much.
Yes, that's very important to us. And over to me. Okay. Thank you. Well, we are really excited to be here, and I appreciate it. I moved to Portland back in 1996, and I was really struck by the community feel that I experienced here. It was something that I don't think I have had in any other city that I've lived in. And for some reason, I was struck by the idea in 1996 due to this community feel that an ice cream shop would be a great way to reflect that and capture that. And so fast forward to 2010, I'd been carrying around this crazy idea to open an ice cream shop, and I was finally able to realize it here on Alberta Street. And, you know, when I first wrote my business plan, I sent it in stupidly in 2010 to banks and investors, and for some reason there wasn't a lot of money available at that time. So I didn't get any money from anyone, but I did get a lot of great feedback. And I can remember someone wrote up my business plan with red ink. It was covered in red ink. And the idea was to be a people-centered business with very generous benefits, taking care of the community and working closely with local artisans. And he wrote, "You can't do this. Do you think you're Starbucks?" I wish I had saved it. I threw it away quickly because it was so terrifying to be doing this already and get that negative feedback. But we went on to start the company, and we opened in our first store in August, and by February we were able to offer health insurance to every employee who worked over 20 hours a week. The employees currently pay $25 a paycheck, and we pay the rest because we want it to be affordable. We have an extensive disability insurance program for our team, so if they're snowboarding and they get hurt, they can still eat and pay their rent. We have a paid parental leave program for 3 months for men and women who adopt or have children. We just added a great life insurance benefit. Every year we try to add a new benefit for our team and reinvest in them. On the community side, we do a lot of great partnerships that I'm really proud of. We do a partnership, this will be our fifth year, with the local PTA nearest each of our school to develop an ice cream that the students come up with. Tyler does it, my cousin. And we donate the proceeds back to the local school. It's one of many that we are really proud to support in our local communities. I always say that a strong business can only exist as part of a strong community, and so those investments are critical to who we are. And then on the artisan side, you know, there's people like Charlie who started Woodblock Chocolate. I don't know if you've had it, but we were one of his first and largest customers. And so he's been able to grow with us and open a manufacturing facility and buy equipment and hire people. And we're so proud of that. So that's kind of that ripple effect that happens when we do well, those around us do well. That's our mission and our hope to do good. The funny thing, I'll conclude by saying that as we come full circle here today, when I walked my business plan around and didn't get any money from anyone, there was one agency that did come forth to help us, and that was the PDC. And we got a $40,000 loan. We were short $40,000 to get our store open, and they gave us that loan. We paid it back in under a year. And you know, I was really struck by, you know, the $40,000 probably isn't a lot of money to most people, but they spent so much time going through that business plan with us and helping us kind of see what was around the next corner and where we should, you know, push forward and where we might be getting out of our skis a little bit. And that partnership was so helpful. And it's so cool to us to now be back here today. It's sort of this next phase in our growth as we look to open this facility, again, in partnership with the local Portland agency, and this partnership means a lot to us. So, you know, we are already in conversations and working on back-to-work programs with the United Way, Gateway to College. We're even in early talks with some prisons in California and Oregon to help use our training program as a way for people to enter the hospitality industry. And now being able to work with First Source and formalize that and take that forward is super exciting for our team. And then secondly, and with a very distinct focus on minorities and being able to bring that population with us. Secondly, this Art as an Incubator program is this idea that, we saw this happen with Woodblock Chocolate. We've been through a lot the last 5 years, and we've learned a lot. And could it be the case, we always wondered, that we would work with two or three people every year and not only become their biggest customer, so they have cash flow coming in, but we could help them with their business. So HR, food safety, all of the things that you need to get your business up and running. So we're working on a curriculum that we would share with them, and that's the definition of that program. So we are excited to have this partnership and support to be able to realize those dreams that we've had already.
That's great. Thank you. Tyler, anything you want to add?
That was great.
This is my cousin, Tyler. He makes all of the ice cream, so he's the one you really want to talk to.
Yeah. I think the target is closing that gap between, we have a large pool of people available, but most of them are, a certain ethnicity and a certain age. And I think opening that up is one of the keys to all of this. And working really closely with the PDC is kind of the best way to go about that.
That's great.
Mayor, can I make a comment?
Please, comments.
I know everybody up here, one time or another, identifies their favorite salt and straw or favorite place, but I have a daughter who is at an age where she has about, three or four jobs at a time, and she was a seasonal worker at the Alberta Street place, and so she was my, kind of my spy. And I asked her about the experience, and because you hire up a lot, you take extra people in the summer, and then you go back to your normal complement. And she said that as part of her orientation, she spent 2 weeks learning customer service, which I thought was really astonishing. That, in fact, she said in the other job she has in like service jobs, it doesn't even come close in terms of the training she gets. In fact, they think that she comes now with this skill set. So I told her, we'll start asking for more money. I mean, if you've already been fully trained. But that was, that really made an impression on her, the customer service piece, and about the ethic. And you have this value system around the customer is always, you're always accommodating the customer. If someone doesn't like the ice cream, you do it again. And but I have one bone to pick with you, which is, as a proud father who wanted to go visit his daughter at that store, my wife and I planned a number of trips over the summer, but every time we got there, the line went around the corner of the block. And in my job, I can't cut a line, of course. So I had the choice of either like waiting an hour or just going to the window and waving and embarrassing her. But she had a wonderful experience, and I think that training component was really very important. And if that's what you're doing with all your people and you're talking about bringing, say, disadvantaged people into the family and giving them those skills, those are the skills you need to be successful in every job. I mean, those are the skills we're looking for as an employer.
And in life, yeah.
So congratulations.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. It means the world to me. Casey is here. Casey Milligan is our director of operations, and she created that training program. And each of our employees last year had about 40 hours of training, each employee in the company. And that included hospitality, leadership training, food safety, personal safety, matters around how to diffuse oppressive language if you experience it, a whole range of trainings that we felt would be good to invest in our team so that they would be, great employees and so that they would be great citizens. And we kept getting feedback like, you should really do something with this program. I mean, this is great. You're doing it for your people, but it'd be great, And we were getting requests for different nonprofits if they could have access to it. And so Casey was the one who said, couldn't we give this away? Could we give this away to populations who need this training in order to go on and do something in their lives? And she's the one who's been starting this work already. And not that these people would all necessarily come to work for us, but it would just be great for them in general.
We are all in the customer service business.
Yes.
And we didn't get... we don't get 2 weeks of training when we come. You get sworn in. But I think you have a lot to teach us.
Oh, well, you're very kind. I'm really honored to have you say that. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, we hear a lot of people talk about being employee-centered companies, but I'm just astounded at what you do for your employees. It's really remarkable.
Well, thank you. We're really honored to have them as our employees.
Yeah, we're happy that you want to stay here in Portland and grow in Portland. That's
thank
great.
You.
Questions? Thank you all very much. Is there anyone that wanted to speak on this besides the folks that are here? If not.
Mayor, I move the resolution.
Well, there's someone who wants to speak. I'm sorry. So, thank you.
I could for just a moment. I'm just concerned.
Could you please come to the microphone, because otherwise the captioners can't hear you.
We have to have you on the microphone so the captioners can hear you. So, welcome.
Oh. This way?
Better?
Just thank give you. Us your name and please.
My name is Ronald Brown, and I live in Portland. And I have three children of my own. They live in another city close by. It's called Gresham, and I don't live there. It's a complicated situation, but I own property in this county. And I was nearly evicted this morning right in the other building down the street. And by the stroke of luck, is it that I get 7 days now where I have to be off of this property, okay? And that's what I've negotiated. It was going to be 2 days. And my options in this town, okay, it's complicated trying to live here. I've lived here 20 years, and I've seen, okay, great, wonderful that your children work great, three jobs, because they're trying to just stay afloat right now in this economy that we have, this strange economy. Here, you know, my kids, like your kids, are overachievers. You have to be to stay. They start looking at your grades when my daughter, excuse me, point is, sir, that I think children should sleep 12 hours a night or as many hours as they can, because your brain is developing and it shouldn't be pressure on young people to achieve. And this is kind of global stuff I'm going to talk about here. But the point is, and everybody, okay, it's profits. Everything is about a profit in this country. Well, what about sacred economy instead of how do we drive this world? Does anybody in this place have $1 that I could borrow for?
Go ahead, just go ahead and finish. We've got
it. Okay. Well, look at here. I'll draw it myself. There's the eagle. There's the almighty eagle. We've got the alpha and the omega. Look at it. Open it up and look at that baby. Omega. And there's Washington, and there's our dollar bill. Now, when it becomes profits, meaning sacred economy, check it out. There's a book by a guy named Charles Eisenstein, and he's a genius. And he's been here several times to these great places. Pay me something if you think it's worth it. If you don't think it's worth it, the place is packed. It's got an attraction like glue. If you haven't been to one of these, I invite every one of you people to see these places. When we start talking about profits, well, the strangest thing that I thought, that I saw today.
So you've used your time, so wrap up that thought, please.
Well, I need a place to live just like other people. And I need a little bit of help to move from A to B because I was in a car wreck, and I can't lift over 15 pounds right now. Thank you so very much.
You take care. Thank you. So anyone else to speak on this? Then I think we're ready to act on the resolution. Is that right? It's a resolution? Yes, please.
Nothing.
So first of all, Kim and Tyler, I want to congratulate you on your total domination in TripAdvisor. I note that the Salt and Straw in Alberta is ranked the number one dessert place in Portland, the one in Division, the number two dessert place in Portland, and the one in 23rd, the number three dessert place in Portland. So congratulations.
Wow.
And congratulations also on your incredible commitment to your employees and to the community. I had no idea until today what the scope of that was. That being said, I want to say for the record that I do not want my vote today to be considered taking a position in the rivalry between Salt and Straw and Ruby Jewel. Hi.
Well, thank you very much for coming in. I have yet to see a enterprise zone project that's been before me that I didn't like. This one, actually, I love. I think this is... thank you for an early holiday present for coming in to tell us about what good-hearted Portland is, because even though you've been here not all your life. You're obviously, your heart has been in Portland all your life, and I hope you will continue to stay here. Thank you for growing your business here, and I know that people really appreciate full-time jobs, this flexibility, the benefits, and many of those things do come with the enterprise zone, and it's very minor, I would say, tax abatements in relation to the investment that you're making, both in construction and in our community. So thank you very much, and thank you to Portland Development Commission staff for having been helpful even during the worst recession of my lifetime. Aye.
Yeah, all I'll add is thank you for being a model small business in our backyard. And as you expand your empire to places like Los Angeles, we wish you the best of success. Aye.
Saltzman.
Yeah, this is a great investment for the city in Salt and Straw, and we appreciate Salt and Straw's investment in the people of the city of Portland, and I am sure that you're going to grow and prosper, not only nationally, but perhaps internationally, but we're really happy you're keeping your production here in Portland. Very honored for all the jobs you're creating. Thank you. Hi.
Well, this is a great success story. So, Kim, Tyler, congratulations. It's a success story for us as a city government, because this is exactly what the Enterprise Zone is supposed to do, which is help entrepreneurs grow businesses in ways that pay off for everyone over time, but we all participate in the short run in making sure that they gain that altitude. Another success, by the way, Kim is not a complainer, but she did note that Portland's permit process is a lot better than Los Angeles's. So our Bureau of Development Services and others should take pride in that. And again, obviously, you're such a socially responsible business. Actually, this is something that Ms. Neal has focused on, that we're growing a sustainable economy here. There are thousands, tens of thousands of jobs, as your research, Pam, has pointed out, that 49,000 jobs in I got that number wrong, I think. But anyway, tens of thousands of jobs in the sustainable sector, including the food cluster. And, we have agriculture in this state that is healthy and tied to our local economy, and hopefully they prosper. And obviously the dairy farmers and others that you work with, we are in our relationship with the rest of the state that Commissioner Saltzman in particular pays a lot of attention to. This is a way for us to be helpful neighbors to them. So this works on every level. And so for the Central East Side, what used to be called Produce Row, to now have breweries, local distilleries, and now Salt and Straw, is full circle in a very wonderful way. So congratulations and good luck on the next chapter of your growth. Aye. Thank you. Okay, let's move on to